I'm going to start by sharing a story that happened to me this morning. It has nothing to do with my message. It's just this, just a God-ordained thing. We listen to Family Life Network, FLN. Maybe some of you listen to that radio station as well. And Thursday, Friday, and today are their share-a-thon where they raise money for the operating expenses for the fund, for the station, for the next 6 months. And we give every share-a-thon. They do one in the spring, one in the fall. And Barb went out to Brockport to our daughter's house this morning. On the way out, she called me and says, "Rob, I forgot. Would you call up the station and make the donation?" I said, "Sure." So, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes later, I got up out of the chair and called the station, and this is where things just began to happen. A woman by the name of Sarah answers the phone and said, "Hi," you know, and we had a conversation and gave her my donation and all that. And I've shared with you before, when we go out to dinner or when I'm on the phone with people, you know, an 800 number, I'll always say, "How can I pray for you?" You know, and waitresses, especially with waitresses, it's always a fun time. And so I started praying. And this, if you've listened to the station, the person I got was not a volunteer that came down. It was Sarah Harnish. Sarah Harnish is one of the people that work at the radio station. So she and I proceed to have a 15-minute conversation on the phone while everyone else is calling, and her whole line is blocked for 15 minutes. No one can get her. So we start talking about a whole lot of different things. I mentioned I got into the whole thing about Amanda, but got into a lot of other stuff as well. And I wound up praying for her. She wound up praying for me for the night and everything else. And then she said, "I'm going to call you Tuesday morning at 9:15. And we're going to give you a 5-minute interview with the things you said this morning. And we're going to edit it, and you'll be on the news, the new news on Tuesday." What just an amazing thing that God put together. You know, my wife has always said to me, you know, I could always talk to a stone and they would talk back. Well, you know, I mean, I always take the opportunity to talk to people, and it just worked out well that it was Sarah, and God just opened up that whole door. So if you listen on noon, I don't know, what's the station out here? Do you know? There's a bunch of them. Yeah, anyways, there's a bunch of them. So if you look up FLN, 94.7, you might hear me this. Hopefully it's Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be Tuesday. Okay, that was my little story. What I want to do tonight is not what I thought I was going to do after my last message back in February. I had to think a minute. Remember we did Crossing Over Part 1? Well, I thought I was going to be doing Crossing Over Part 2 tonight. Well, we're not. God completely changed it. And I want to give you some background before I actually get into what I want to share today. I am a partner with Dutch Sheets. And so we send Dutch a contribution every month. And every month we get a recorded message from him. And I listen to them, and they're all really good. And I really consider personally, of all the people that I know, probably the man that has the most anointing and authority for this country. So I listen to him. I like what he has to say. And in January, Dutch gave two talks at a church somewhere down south, I believe it was. And so what he did was he sent the two messages. He did one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in February, and one in March. Now, he went away for an extended period at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And the fruit of that extended time away with the Lord were these two messages. And so what I'm going to do tonight is not Crossing Over Part 2. But what I'm going to do, with Al's approval, I've talked with him about this, is you're going to get my synopsis of 150 minutes of his teaching from those two tapes. Because I feel like it's critical for you to hear what he has to say. Everyone that has heard these messages has come back and said, "These are right on. This is the word of the Lord for this moment and for this time." Now, I've made some copies of these. I don't have enough for all of you, but Lisa's got copies of the two tapes, of the two messages. Take them. Listen to them in the fullness of them. They are really excellent, and I'm telling you, it's worth your time. I usually put them in the car and just listen to them as I drive around. And what is significant about this is, and you have to understand, Dutch did a message in the morning and a message later in the day. But what he did was he sent the second message first and the first message a month later. The reason was that the second message was much more time appropriate for March and April, which is what we're in right now. That's why he sent that first. So that's the reason why that happened. And that's why I'm going to do it. But I'm going to change the order a little bit because I think it's important. I'm going to go with the order that he did it in. I also want to make one other thing before I actually get into this. Whether you are aware or not, there are right now today going on in this country three major prayer events happening. There's an event down in Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial, where leaders and pastors are going to pray for the nation. In Houston, Texas, there is a major gathering happening for prayer. And Lou Engel is out in California, this being the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Revival, calling it Azusa Now. And so today, all three of these events are happening. And it's caused some confusion in the body of Christ because leaders are saying, where do I go? Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I go here? Where do I go? But anyways, they're all going on today. And I really believe it's critical because this could very well be the start of something really, really big that's going to sweep this country, as you'll hear. Okay? In his message, Dutch also indicated the fact that there's going to be a new wave of prayer that's going to be coming, and it would hit its stride in 2016. He went on to say that there are more prayer gatherings planned for this year than he has ever heard of in one calendar year. If those of you who get the Decision magazine from Billy Graham, this month's magazine, saw the cover, I was going to bring it and somehow didn't bring it, but it's all about prayer, the topic. So, I mean, God is saying over and over again, this is a time and a year of prayer. Now, let me go through with you very slowly. Okay? Now, Patricia's going to be my, if I get too fast, she's going to go like this, and it'll cause me to slow down. Okay? What I'm going to do is, first of all, give you the 9 points that I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to go through them one at a time. Okay? Point number one, 2016 is going to be a year of recalibration. Point number two, 2016 is a year of restored passion. All of these will be explained. Number three, 2016 will be a year of restored service. Number four, 2016 is going to be the year of the Bible. Number five, 2016 is going to be a year of Joel 2:16. Number six, 2016 will be a year of convergence. Number seven, 2016 is a year where the puzzle pieces drop into place. Number eight, March and April will be a time of significant breakthrough for our nation. That's why the message just got put out in February. And number nine, 2016 is the time of entering into phase two of the Great Awakening. Okay, where do you want me to stop? March, okay, number eight. March and April will be a time of significant breakthrough for our nation. Number nine. How about if I drink some water? That'll slow me down. Is that good? And number nine, 2016 is a time of entering into phase two of the Great Awakening. Now, let me give you a little perspective on this and why I'm going to do what I'm going to do. In these two messages that Dutch gave, he spent the morning session on point number five. This is the year of Joel 2:16. And then he spent the evening message, or the second message of the day, doing the other 8 points. I'm going to do exactly the same thing for a variety of reasons. You'll understand as I go through why that's going to be important. So we're going to start by looking at Joel 2:16 and 17. If you'll put those up there for me. Okay. It says, well, can you go back actually to 15? We'll go 15, 16, and 17. Thank you. And Dutch spent 75 whole minutes on just this one point. There were a lot of testimonies he gave about his own experiences with prayer. I don't have time to do that tonight. I have just too much information to get to you without going through all the testimonies. It's over there. Pick up the DVD or the CD and listen to it. Okay, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children and those that suck at the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chambers and the bride out of her closet. In the next verse, let the priests, the ministers of the Jehovah, weep between the porch and the altar. Let the people say, spare thy people, O Jehovah, and give them not thy heritage, give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Therefore, wherefore should they say amongst the people, where is their God? This, he mentioned over and over again, this is the basis of everything else that he's going to talk about. The basis of accomplishing all the other 8 things is prayer. It's fasting. And he said, without this, nothing else is really going to come together. As I said to you, he believes that there's going to be a new movement of prayer and it will hit its stride this year. But what God's going to do is bigger than the 90s, and it's going to be a glorious thing to be a part of. Now, how many of you are very familiar with his ministry? A couple of you. Not many. Okay. Over the last couple of years, Dutch has gotten involved in something called Appeal to Heaven. This is a flag. It's called Appeal to Heaven. It's like a little pine tree. Okay? This was the first flag of our country before we had stars and stripes. This was actually authorized by George Washington. Dutch has then, since starting to talk about this, has written a book, and it was really funny. He talked about it. He said, you know, I've written this book in such a way that even men will read it. And children and teenagers will read it. It's simple to read. It's about the whole concept of Appeal to Heaven. I actually bought this and gave one to everybody in our church. You read the book. So your home group knows about the book. Okay. So the deal here is that this flag has been hidden for 200 years. And God has resurrected this flag and the significance of this flag and the significance of the prayer movement for now. God is not done with America, as some people have said. One of the things that has come out of these, Dutch has had, let me say it this way. Dutch has started to put together an Appeal to Heaven conference around the country at different places. He's going to do probably 7 of them this year. Out of the first one, the big kickoff one that was in Ohio, has come something called Give Him 15. If you have a smartphone, you can download it. I don't have a smartphone, so what I've done is I went online and I signed up for the app. And so every day, I get this Give Him 15 notice. It's some prayer declarations and things to pray about. You can probably go through it in less than 10 minutes. And then you can take the other 8, 7, 6, 9 minutes, however long you have left, and give him the rest of the 15 minutes to pray. Now, what's interesting about this is, since Dutch started this, the first month They had 100,000 downloads on their iPhones. I want you to imagine what will happen if 500,000 or a million people download this and pray together. Yeah. The prayer of agreement of 500,000 or a million people praying the same prayer every day is going to be powerful.
Yes.
I would encourage you, if you have a smartphone, download it. It's called Give Him 15. If you don't have a smartphone like me, you can go on the internet and download or sign up for the app and you get it every day in your email. It's amazing. And she's going to download it right now. Great. Okay. Whatever. It's very important. You know, imagine, it's just to me overwhelming. So that's what he was talking about the importance of prayer. He went on to say that because prayer is so important, God is going to start to give churches, leaders, people, audacious prayer assignments. Way out there. God's going to use imperfect people because of who he is. He's going to take care of what you lack. The ecclesia, God's ruling assembly in the spirit, in the earth, is going to be given these prayer assignments. And we need to charge, hear me carefully, we need to charge into these prayer movements and get on board with prayer. And we need to pray with belief. He gives a story. I was going to digress. I wasn't going to count this. But he gives a story when he went to the White House. God called him one day. He was in Washington. And he was supposed to go on a tour with some people. And he felt like the Lord was going to go and bring him to. He said, go to the White House and pray. It was cold. And you can listen to the whole thing in there. And God sends a woman to him with a baby who had to walk 2 miles. And she really says, are you Dutch Pierce? And because Dutch and Chuck Pierce go together a lot, they minister together. And so what happened was God reprimanded him and said, don't let me ever send mama and baby out again for you to pray with belief. And he went back and he prayed. And you can listen to all the story, all the testimonies in there. But the point is, we need to be able to charge into this prayer that's coming this year with belief. And he wound up saying, I can see the prayer army arising. I believe, he said, that the political climate in this country will change by the end of this year. That will be a miracle unto itself. Okay? But then he came across a very interesting point near the end of the first tape, the tape that's over there called Joel 2:16. He said, leaders need to make prayer a priority in their church and in their home, and move whatever is in the way of prayer into someplace else. Prayer will do more for God and for people than anything else. He said, in Colorado Springs, when he was a pastor before he started his ministry, he said, I learned this particular principle. And he said, not every Sunday, but there were many Sundays when God would lead him to pray with the whole church, and he would take his sermon, however long it was, and he would condense it down into 10 or 15 minutes, and then we would spend 30, 45 minutes praying. And people would come up and pray. He said, don't leave prayer to 10 or 15 people that gather during the week. Prayer needs to be done by the whole body. And how each person in each church will adapt to that is up to them. But he said, I know I'm stepping on toes, and I'm not trying to compromise the word either, because there were many days when he preached this whole sermon. He said, but our goal is always to please God and to do what God is leading us to do. He said, by the end of 2016, people will be saying, even if they don't consider themselves an intercessor, I am an intercessor. And again, let me restate as I finish this point. Every other point I'm going to talk about from now on is based on this point of prayer. And if you've been a Christian long enough, you know everything is based on prayer and worship. Okay, let's go on to what the second message was all about. Point number one, this is going to be a year of recalibration. I get together with three other people once a month, and we pray for this region. They're all, if I mentioned the names of these people, you would know them all, I'm sure. And we spend 2 hours once a month praying for the region. And when we were talking about things that are going on, what are you hearing the Lord say? It was amazing when this whole topic of God recalibrating actually came up before they knew about this tape. And it was very interesting, another confirmation to me. But like Lisa Fess, I am going to give you some definitions of recalibration, right? There it is. Because this is what Dutch did. I want to give you a lot of what he said. He said, what is it? He said, it's precise use. It's precision. It's adapt. It's adjust. God needs to adjust the way we think in this new season, and he will fine-tune in us what we think and what we do. Another term is the word amend. In this new season, whatever gifting, this is really interesting, whatever gifting you have had in the last season will be taking a back seat to the new giftings that are going to come forth in the new season. Recalibrate. Recalibrate also means to diversify, to modify, to refashion, to reform. I'll say that again. Diversify, modify, refashion, and reform. Leaders get into a trap of thinking, even subconsciously, with a mindset that says, I have this ministry thing figured out. We know that that which produced fruit last year will not produce fruit this year or in the future. Most of the time, a church will not be effective, not because of sin or compromise, because it's a rut issue. Not being able to flex and recalibrate. And let me take a side move. For those of you that are in business, he made a strong point of saying, this is a year that you need to recalibrate as well in order to prosper. How that applies to your business, I'll let you deal with that. But that was a strong point that he made. He also said, don't over OD on the news. Listen to what heaven is saying rather than what the world is saying. Amen. Another definition of recalibrate is refocus. Another synonym is recharge. Get your energy back. Some of you, your gifts are dull. Get the fire renewed. Rebuild your inner you and become a person of the heart. He didn't pull any punches. I mean, there was some great stuff, but this message is completely, it's out there. I mean, it really is saying, you got to take a look closely at what's happening. To recalibrate, we must properly integrate our body, soul, and spirit. And for some of us, it's out of balance. For some of us, our body takes precedent over our soul and over our spirit. For some of us, our soul takes precedent over our spirit and over our body. He said, get back to letting the spirit lead you and don't operate out of your mind. Yeah. That's point one. This is a year of being recalibrated. Point number two. This is a year of restored passion. And this restored passion is going to be aimed at those who burned with passion for the Lord and his cause, but no longer do. He gave an example of pastors who are burned out and tired spiritually as well as physically and emotionally, who have backed off and said, I am tired of all the warfare. God says, I'm going to visit these people, and a bunch of them, they are going to get their fire back. Lost first loves will be found, and churches, whole churches, will return back to the truth. He came up with a wonderful phrase, polished mediocrity. Simple everyday in English, looks like you're alive, but you're dead. Polished mediocrity. And he went on to say that many of the prodigals will come to their senses and have their passions for God restored this year. Now understand, in the context of what he was saying, a prodigal isn't necessarily a kid that leaves home. But it's a person that's walked away from God. And he said, they're coming back this year. The third point, 2016 is going to be a year of restored service. What does this mean? I was kind of surprised by this one. Fallen leaders are going to be restored to service. And some people are going to be surprised when all of this happens. And he warned people, and he said, make sure you maintain a posture of mercy and grace, and don't be judgmental or critical. And he went on to talk about the story of David and Bathsheba. He said, David got restored, and God even called him a man after his own heart. But how many of us would have said, oh, he's disqualified from service? He said, I probably would have said, he's disqualified. You see, what's going to happen this year is God is going to find worth where no one else can. God is going to find worth where no one else can. And don't be legalistic with holiness without mercy. And rejoice in the fact that God heals the hurting and the brokenhearted. Point number four, this is a year of the Bible. This is going to be a year of restored love for the Word of God. 2 Kings 22. If you could put that up, please. Now, this is a real interesting passage that he put up. And we'll stop right here at verse 8 for a minute. And it says, Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Jehovah. And he delivered the book to Shaphan and he read it. Now, I want you to stop. You know, you can read over a verse like this and read it as a novel. But understand what that verse says. They were living as God's people without his word.
Yeah.
They found it. It was in the temple. What were they doing? What regulations were they having to follow? The book of the law was missing and they found it. It'd be like saying today, oh, we found a Bible. If we didn't have one. You can't imagine living without your Bible. Well, he was saying they found the book of the law. Too easy to read over and not understand the context of that. And he goes on to say in verse 9, and so Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king the word, and he said, the servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen, and they have the oversight of the house of Jehovah. Verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me the book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Verse 11. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Verse 12. And the king commanded the priest and the son of Shaphan and all these other people to do whatever they were going to do. But anyways, that's enough. You get the whole idea. Okay? They found the book of the law. You and I take it for granted. Pastoral leaders, politicians, Even denominations are going to rediscover the Bible this year and what it says and believe it and not rely on what other people have to say about it. Are you aware that over 50% of evangelicals do not believe that the Bible is inerrant? Over 50%. He quoted that statistic. And Lisa's over here shaking her head like, yeah, it's true. You know? You only love God, he made the statement, you only love God as much as you love his word. And he finished off this section by saying this. There's a trap in the prophetic movement, in prophetic ministry, where we would rather hear a prophetic word than we would hear what the Bible has to say. Amen. Prophecy's good, but it's not the word. This is going to be a year of people being renewed in their love for the Bible. And what he said was, because this came out, he gave this in January, so this came out like in mid-February, but he said, go home for the next month and just read your Bible. Spend every waking moment reading the Bible and see after 30 or 60 days, how different will you be? Point number five. This is the year of Joel 2:16. We already covered that. But that was the order which he put it in. Point number six. This is going to be a year of convergence. We will see higher levels of ministries, churches, coming together to join forces. People will be happy for other people's successes, and people will be tired of competition and gamesmanship among the ministries and churches. Won't that be wonderful? And even our own busyness, which keeps us isolated, will be set aside, and people will begin to say, how can I serve you? And what do I have that you need? He went on to say that there's a church in Phoenix. I don't know how big this church is, but they have 15 different ministries in their church every week. And Dutch said, I talked to the man who runs the church, and he said, isn't this a bit inconvenient? He said, well, yeah, it is, but Chinese people are getting saved, Korean people are getting saved, Spanish people are getting saved, the kingdom of God is advancing, and it's God's building anyways. That's the kind of thing he believes we're going to see this year. As opposed to competition, the fruit of cooperation is that we will see a coming together of the fivefold ministry like we have never seen since the book of Acts. Wouldn't that be glorious? Point number seven, puzzle pieces are going to drop into place. It was like God was saying, I'm putting the puzzle pieces together. There was a time when Joseph got to the point and said, now I understand why I was in prison.
Yeah.
David came to a point in his place where he said, there's a reason now why I understand why I was in the cave. This is a year when we're going to say, now I see what God is doing. On my iPad, I have a little app. It's a jigsaw puzzle app. And every day, you can download it, and you can download once a month this little jigsaw. You can download a jigsaw. Well, so when I do the puzzle, the daily puzzle, the interesting thing about this is, you don't get to see the picture before you put it together. So you can do 42 pieces, 74 pieces, 140 pieces, 220, 500 pieces. Depends on what you want to do. But you can't see the puzzle piece until it's done. Then it pops up and there it is, you know. And it's like shooting blind. Oh, but it's fun. I mean, you can kind of get used to it, you know. And some of them are crazy. And one of the nice things is when you do this, you can... when you complete a puzzle, you collect coins, you know? So sometimes when I collect enough coins, I'll buy a 3x3 square And they'll put in 9 pieces because I've said, this is too crazy. And I'll do this a couple times. Oh, now I get to see what's going on. I'll finish the puzzle. You know, but the thing is, God's saying, I'm going to bring all the puzzle pieces together this year for what you've been praying for what you've been thinking. It's coming together this year. Okay, point number 8. March and April will be a significant breakthrough in our nation. He coined the phrase, this is the beginning of the beginning. This is the beginning of the beginning. Violence and evil will increase, but God is preparing to release the winds of revival and the winds of a youth movement. And leaders are going to have to be flexible to flow with God. You spend a lot of time on that, but we'll go on. Point number 9, the last point. He's talked for a long time over the last couple of years as I've listened to different messages and things about the third great awakening. And he's been talking about this being the most prolific awakening of God, perhaps in history. And he said one recently, the Lord spoke to him and said, phase 2 of the Great Awakening has already begun. He went on to say, momentum will increase and the third Great Awakening will go public. Salvations, miracles, and healings will begin in earnest this year. This will be the highest impact of heaven on earth and the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world. But he asked the question, how do you get ready for this? This should drive us all to our knees with a cry of, Lord, help us prepare. He said religions and nations will be transformed. Massive stadiums will be filled with people and all at once, everyone in that place will be delivered demonic deliverance at once. And he said, what is that going to look like? That's right. Hallelujah. Mosques will be turned into churches. Dreams and visions will become commonplace, even in those who don't know him. And we are going to see more miracles outside the church than inside, in malls, yeah, in schools, in backyards. It's going to happen. And he said, you know, you can preach and you can preach and people will not listen. But he said the ultimate game changer is when somebody's raised from the dead, or somebody with no eye begins to see, or somebody with no limb gets a new limb. He said, the argument's over. This is the ultimate game changer. This is it. He said, this is what is coming. Those are the 9 points that the Lord gave him when he was away. Let me bring some conclusion and then we'll pray. Conclusion. If something is not a lifestyle, you will eventually die. You need to make your Christianity a lifestyle. Number 2, don't lose sight of what God is doing by being distracted by what the devil is doing.
Yeah.
I'll repeat that again. Don't lose sight of what God is doing by being distracted by what the devil is doing. That would have been easy for us this year. We've had a whole lot of distraction this week. 3, read your Bible. 4, be ready. He then quoted someone, I think he said he thought it was Jane Hammond, but this was a quote he made. He said, if you show up, I will show off. And he finished the whole talk by saying, the dark night of the soul is over for some of you. Oppression is being broken off. Breakthrough is coming. And those of you that have stood in the midst of trials, God is pleased with you and he will rescue you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we ask you to do this.
Yes.
Tip the bowls in heaven.
Yes.
Tip the bowls this year. Get us out of our apathy. Get us out of our unbelief. Recalibrate us so that we clearly see with passion. Show us how to cooperate with you. Let every leader hear and see clearly. And Lord, help us to be ready. Amen.